Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, we're on. Episode 42. You told me it's the meaning of life or something.
Yeah.
Shit. They don't know you're here yet, so you can't just go, yeah, in the background. We're recording this on National Day, National Dagen. So if you're in Sweden, which most of the listeners are, I'll be honest with you, all 8 of them seem to be here. So happy day to Sweden. I went to the football yesterday and I saw Sweden beat Wales 3-0. The nation, not the animal. That would be quite a weird match, seeing Zlatan go for blubber. But they, I did see a young child, I say young, 14, 15, Skyping or FaceTiming his friend the whole match, the whole game. He just FaceTimed him. And he got up once and he missed one of the goals. And I thought, that'll teach you, you little shit. So if you go to one of these games, please, oh please, do not FaceTime your friend. I'm here with two friends who I've done comedy with. They're both musicians. This is a first for the podcast. This is episode 42, The Meaning of Life. This is the first time I've actually had two guests and non-comedians. I've only had two guests before, but they were in single places. Good introduction.
Yeah.
If you were at my gig on Saturday, thank you so much for coming. It was in Stockholm, and it was at the Mafia Comedy Club. Thank you so much. Really great fun. And I got the heckle of someone shouting out water at the end, just water. I thought earth or wind was going to come next, but all I heard was water. So there we go. So Soma.
Yeah.
You're from Finland.
Yes, I am.
You're a singer, you're a producer, you do a lot, don't you? You do a lot.
I try my best.
Are you into, what do you prefer most?
What do you mean?
Doing.
Oh. Well.
Do you prefer talking? Like, you need to talk now.
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
Do you prefer talking? Do you prefer singing or producing?
No, we can actually talk this one out. Yeah, I think that will be the best.
You want to talk this one? I thought, no. So you were thinking you're going to produce this pod. Okay.
Or sing it.
Or sing it. No, you haven't sung for a while though, have you?
No, I mean, It has been a few hours now.
Are you constantly singing?
Yeah.
And Simon, you're a drummer.
Yeah.
In a band.
Yeah.
A covers band called Duo Yag.
Yep.
Who, if you haven't heard of them, you need to. They're on Spotify.
Yeah, we're on Spotify. Just released an album 12th of May. And it's called Så Mycket Du och Jag. It's kind of a rip-off, isn't it?
It's a complete rip-off.
Yeah.
But that's
but
okay.
I mean, it's a cover band, so we're covering.
You're covering covers.
Exactly, exactly.
What's the most requested cover song you ever get?
Oh.
Sweet Home Alabama?
Yeah, that's quite high up there. Or just anything with AC/DC. People just go like, AC/DC.
Just,
yeah.
Not even the song title, just
no,
yeah,
just like they do with you, water.
Water, yeah.
Yeah.
AC/DC, okay.
Yeah.
And you guys met doing Eurovision in Finland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
You had this love at first sight. You dropped a bit of chicken and you picked it up. I completely made that up. I just thought, what a beautiful love story.
You know, it happened exactly like
something
that.
Without
like the
that.
Chicken, though.
But and yeah. Now you're together.
Yeah.
You can't see this on the podcast. I brought my two fingers to kind of touch. Do you ever get jealous of each other musically? It's a good question.
No,
that's no.
It's a good question. Is it weird?
Kind of stir some drama here.
What were you? What were you doing then? What was? Is Eurovision as big in Finland as it is in Sweden?
It's not at all the same kind of background and culture, because you guys have ABBA, so you started off like this like this is our thing.
Do you know what I like that? Is that you looked at me and you said, "You guys," and I felt very Swedish on June the 6th.
You're in. We're both in now.
Yep.
We're both we're in.
Finland, nobody in. Nobody in.
No, I'm Finnish. I'm not even in.
No, that's very strange.
It is.
I was amazed by that.
I heard that they had taken in like 26,000 people this year, but almost all of them booked a ticket to fly back home.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So we've got to change that. That'll be the second half of this pod.
I should probably defend Finland somehow, but
do that?
Yeah.
You can't. You can't defend. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like saying, "Oh, I'm going to have to defend Hitler." No, you are. Like, but you can't. You can't, can you?
Yeah, but
you can't.
Quite a rough comparison.
What he did was really bad.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I can say that our family has had it. Good, like we're happy that we were able to come to that country and build a completely new life, and I got to go to school and all that thing. But I must say that even though I feel that I'm more Finnish than a lot of Finns are, because I have to go into that identity crisis where everybody's questioning you just because I've got dark hair.
Okay,
so maybe you need to tell, because they can't see you, that you're
I've got dark hair.
Yeah.
Where did it all begin?
Oh, yeah. My parents are from Kurdistan, 91, the first George Bush in there, kaboom. We had to leave. We found a new home in Finland and all that jazz. So
I've never heard anyone describe it as all that jazz. Never. I know you're a musician and everything, but all that jazz. Okay, yep, fair enough.
Yeah, so the thing that I wanted to say, it's a really good place, like educational-wise and safety-wise, just like Sweden to grow up in.
Yeah, aren't they on top of education in the world?
Yeah. And all that. But as a person, I've always been an outsider, just based on, I think, how I look. So
yeah.
It's like you never become a Finn, even though you're a Finn. But I think that's changing now.
Do you
now.
Feel like a Finn?
I don't think about it, because I think a lot of like the identifications break down when you go through war and all that jazz at such a young age. So things that might be very, I don't know, solid concepts like your nationality and your looks and where you come from and this is who I am, a lot of them kind of come crumbling down. And, you know, like for some people when their parents get divorced and
All that jazz. But
you know.
I struggle a bit with
jazz. Jazz isn't that bad, I have to say.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So I think, like, very early on you kind of start meeting people as people and individuals, but I always got shocked that there was always these questions like, who are you, where do you come from? And I would always have to answer like, but I'm right from here. Oh, but you look different. And then the thing is that when I give like, oh, my parents are Kurdish, then it's like, oh. It's like this thing, because people can put you in a box so they can breathe then easily. And they go, I know what you are now. And even though it's not the truth, like if I tell a Kurdish person that I'm Kurdish or from Iraq, they're like, no, you're not. And then if I tell a Finnish person that I'm Kurdish. So it's like, there's always one person who's going to be angry.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I come here. Minority of a minority of a minority. Minority in Iraq, minority in Finland, coming into here, being like triple minority.
That's like all that
jazz.
Really niche jazz.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like jazz that's made from like motor instruments.
Exactly.
Jazz.
Free jazz.
Only for jazz players. That's how it feels like.
Do you play jazz?
Yeah. I used to play a lot of jazz when I was in, school. It's very popular in music schools, like in the university. And
that kind of that kind of
It's all putista, you know.
Putista.
it's a word. It's you saying
jazz.
I play the drum, so putista, putusta. You know, it sounds like the drum beat.
Yeah.
But
it's a kind of thing that drives you nuts.
Exactly.
So you met at the Eurovision, yeah. right? Yeah. Which wasn't the year that your Law Day won, was it? Law
no,
Day?
No, it wasn't.
Anyway, I would have to stop the pod, you know.
Delete.
But you weren't happy when you did it. You didn't like it.
I like the crowd. I love the fans. I like kind of what they're representing.
What's it like being in it? Because my children now just sing completely anything melody, like Dolly, Roller Coaster.
Yeah.
If I was everything that I'm not sorry, if I'm not that song, you know, the ones with the wrong words.
Mm-hmm.
France.
Yeah,
but I mean, also, we need to remember it's very different in Finland. I mean, it was quite a small studio. It wasn't that much people. We were in the... I actually missed the finals because I had another gig with Duo Jag. Yeah. So we were in the semifinals. That's where we met.
Yeah.
And then we got advanced to the finals, but I couldn't make it for the TV show. So I missed the whole thing. But that was in a bigger place. But the semifinals were in quite a small studio, TV studio.
Mm.
Not that much people. I don't know.
And that was also
hundreds.
The last time with the old concept. Because then it was kind of so... it was so untrendy and so unsexy
in Finland at the time. Yeah,
with that concept. So they went through this whole restoration.
I think
so
after they saw us, they like, no, we have to change.
This does
like,
not
scratch
work.
That.
Yeah,
but isn't like as a comic, right? Doing something like that. Mm. If they did like a Eurovision of comedy and stuff, to me it's. I don't know, as a musician, I suppose it's a way in, isn't it? In Sweden especially, it doesn't seem to be a dirty thing to do.
No, in Sweden, it's a display of new artists. Like, you know, these ones, what do you think about these guys?
Yeah.
And then people go like, we like that,
But they lose their shit here over it.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
To find the melody finals, just mad. Like...
Yeah.
People, the streets are empty.
Yeah.
The bins are full. The tunnel banner, if you're in Stockholm, is empty.
Yeah.
You have to drive it yourself.
That's true.
Why is that?
That the melodies are like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Euro just seems to be.
To me.
No, but this year, the Eurovision was like, was it 4 million people watching it or something?
In Sweden.
Yeah, because it was hosted in Sweden.
Yeah,
so,
but it was
like
200 million worldwide.
Yeah, worldwide,
because Justin Timberlake
in Sweden
Timberlake
was really
was
like, people were really like staying off
what
the streets.
What was old Timberlake turning up for? What was that? Was a bit cheeky, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I thought that it was good because it gave kind of this whole like Super Bowl vibe. It took the concept that's for bringing Europe together.
Australia were in it.
So Australia was in it. China was allowed to vote for the first time. And US were watching and then to get like one of the biggest... artists on planet to perform, so it became like a worldwide phenomenon, and it's officially the I think the biggest music show. See, this is what you make of me. It's like I start off like I'm not a big Eurovision fan going into like
you
I actually work for them.
You
I'm a fan of the people like who follow it.
Yeah,
I have a like lovely encounters and people were really supportive and everything.
Yep.
And then of course how things were arranged, and then how do you think about like from artistic or songwriter's point of view, like is it really the best way of bringing forth the kind of like the deepest or the best leaps kind of musically to come up with the newest, freshest ideas and songs?
Then maybe.
Maybe not.
No.
Because you don't get the next big thing ever. I just said ever, but you won't probably get it via Eurovision because it's a type of a concept. Like what's very in now, you just duplicate that. So it's kind of this caricature of how a really good pop song should sound like, and everybody's trying to make that thing. You know, that they hear in their heads, like, oh, this is the idea for the perfect pop song. But nothing... it's
new
very...
is presented.
Yeah. Like, it's very restricted. Like, you're probably not going to get the next U2 on stage there. And even if that would happen, I don't think it would win the competition, necessarily.
But didn't One Direction win... They won, like, a UK talent show?
Yeah, there was a talent show.
Yeah, but that's different,
That is different, yeah. and probably a very stupid point to make if if anybody was to make it.
Yeah, exactly.
What is it very... I mean, I really respect musicians totally, because I what I love about it is, like, you could go down the street and someone could be... They'd have their guitar case out, and they're singing, and I'm hearing them and I'm thinking, this guy's got the voice of an owl, you know, a voice of an owl in the morning, you know, the Vorschenzler's up, you know, and you're like, wow, but they'll never go anywhere. But for me as a comedian, if you're funny, you sort of, you do make progress.
Yeah.
How difficult is it in this age now where you can just get out and release something, you know, the SoundCloud, you know, we can... You know, we could just fart in a bowl for half an hour, which I'd probably see a doctor about. But if we did it and then release that, we can release that, literally. Yeah. You know, is it very difficult to become... You're in a covers band. Yeah. You're more into producing now. Is it...
I
could have cut this question pretty short.
But
remember what I mentioned 2 hours ago? No, back to the point. Is it difficult?
It is. I think it's even more difficult today than it used to be. You know, like in the 60s or something. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I've been told that if you had a good voice, you know, you were a good singer, it was, you know, you got picked up. Okay, we'll give you a song and make the record. But today there are so many good singers, and everybody's got a channel to show it. You know, you can put it on YouTube, put it on Facebook, put it SoundCloud, as you say. And I mean, if you start to look through YouTube, and then you go related. I mean, there are so many amazing singers. So you really need to find something unique or new to really pop out of all this white noise.
What do you think? I know you're on Spotify. What's your opinion on the kind of streaming music sites? Radiohead called them the Spotify, like the last squeeze, the last fart. I'm mentioning fart a lot. I apologize.
Yeah.
The last fart of someone dying, of a dying corpse, was music.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I think it's the start of something new, perhaps.
I was just about to come...
The problem with Spotify is that, you know, there's a lot of... Spotify isn't completely owned by Spotify itself. There's a lot of big record labels that are owned in Spotify.
Okay.
So, you know, it's in their interest to keep, of course, the what they pay for every play...
Really?
A bit low, because they get their money still from the winnings of the company.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of technical stuff going on.
But I think still that... I mean, I think that the illegal downloading of music has, like, gone down to very little. At least in Sweden, because most people have Spotify.
Yeah, because most people now have Spotify or Netflix or something like that. So, you know, it shows that people do value quality and HD and kind of the accessibility, so that you get it in high quality and so on. But what I also wanted to say about this, kind of, has it become harder to make it, so to speak, to be successful? Well, first of all, you would have to determine it, but we'll just leave it there. I mean, from one point of view, it has definitely become harder. Because whereas before you would have one great singer in a city, let's say, now you might have countless of them because of all the talent shows, the kind of the culture that wants to underline that you gotta be different and you gotta be talented and you gotta be a star. You know, you've got youngsters that have grown up with the Idol and X Factor and talent shows, so they're like extremely good that's singing, for instance, at the age of 8. So now you've got many people who are kind of doing the same thing. But kind of so that it's technically easier to release something doesn't, in my mind, guarantee that the quality is going to be as good. Like, it doesn't kind of exponentially show in the quality. And also... What else did I wanted to say something from what you said.
What about
Spotify? Like kind of because I also feel like where the business used to be very closed, so that you have big studios who hire, okay, these guys can play these instruments, then we have a bunch of people who write the songs, and then we grab these persons from the street who can sing.
But isn't that pop though? That's pop.
Or, I mean, it's everyone from like Elvis, like kind of, if you look pop music.
Yeah. I mean, Motown, they had like, it was like the Funk Brothers. They played on most of all the Motown.
That's what I call my testicles, the Funk Brothers.
Yeah, it's been on, I mean.
Yeah, okay. So kind of the point that I wanted to make is that I see that we're kind of living the end of an era where artistry and outflow has been very controlled. So, of course, like all of that thing that has been blocked, it comes out like as a wave and it's everywhere. It's on YouTube, it's on TV and la la la. And I think we need that. We need that freedom. And I think it's going to calm down. It's just, you know, you get a little better system every time. Like Spotify is better than Napster and those things.
Exactly,
and then
yeah.
we, okay, that's good for now, but how can we make it even better?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So it's not a disaster. It's disaster for big record labels. But it's also taught us that artistry and creating has nothing to do with record labels or businesses.
Mm-mm.
It's a separate thing because we will always want to make music, we always want to listen to music, we always want to be touched and go deeper and experience, so that will never end.
Yeah, and also you've still got live shows as well.
Yeah,
but
and live shows has been become a much bigger like part of
touring.
Being an artist.
Yeah,
touring.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Doing gigs. I mean, that's what people do to earn money today, you know, that's what you have to do, basically.
Who are your... Let's have a look at your influences. Who are your biggest influences musically? You can name two.
Thank you.
Oh.
That's hard.
That's difficult. I think we have one in common, though.
Who?
Mr. Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
he was big for both of us in our childhood.
Yeah.
Growing up and listening to his stuff.
I should say something funny, but I won't. But yeah.
I mean, you can say it's nothing serious like that.
No.
It's just I have a couple of persons I admire their work ethic and their approach to music and art in general. But I don't have anybody that, you know, I would listen to and then take direct influence so that you could say like, oh, your music sounds like that person.
Yeah.
In fact, it's quite often like,
I think comedians suffer from that.
Yeah.
I think they look at something and they see it working and then they're sort of...
They want to repeat that.
Yeah. Oh, go that way. That's what people
want.
No,
that's never been the case.
What about Prince? Prince passed away.
Yeah.
Bowie. Lemmy.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I wanted to talk about this Muhammad Ali thing, right? He passed away. I thought he was, to me, he was like one of those icons, one of those, and he was a poet, political as well.
Yeah.
You know, in 67, the whole thing about, I'm not going to Vietnam.
Yeah, and also now with this whole kind of Muslim hate thingy, because he was a Muslim.
Yeah.
So they spoke with his daughter about this, hey, come on, you know.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to talk about was like the social media outpouring of kind of grief, and apparently it's like one of the most full on his death, like, kept timelines just, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's only been a couple of days. But then people then start... It's such a weird thing. What's your opinion on social media? Because I think Facebook's very different to Twitter. Because Twitter...
Yeah.
You know, Twitter's nasty, you know.
Yeah.
People just troll, like, straight
yeah.
away.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, oh, my cat died. You know, yeah. my best friend. Ah, here's a cat video eating cucumbers. You know, people are assholes.
Yeah.
And the Muhammad Ali thing was like, someone just wrote, if you write a joke about Muhammad, you know, he seemed to be like untouchable as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but, you know, one guy was like, he was paid to kill people. I was
what?
Like, what? Yeah, exactly.
yeah.
But anyway, what's your opinion on like social media and stuff like that? Do you use it? Are you guys on it?
Actually, we have it both in the band. We're quite active, but for me privately, I'm not that active. Like, I don't post that many things. I used to do it in the beginning, but now I've just slowly, like, I don't know. I have like a couple of posts a year, I think. It's like I'm just there looking at other people's posts, and but so for me it's like, you know,
does it help the band
with our page?
Yeah,
of course. I mean, it's an excellent channel for us to get to talk
announce
with
a gig
people announce gigs
this.
And you know,
behind the scenes,
yeah, exactly, and just
dick
like
pics.
Stuff like that, funny videos and things like that.
Dick
but for
pics.
Me privately, it's just like I would never like write anything like, you know, if an idol of mine would die, like Prince, for instance, like I you know, it's for myself that whole grief thing. I don't need to write it like, oh, I'm so sad that he passed away, because it doesn't give me anything.
I kind of think sometimes that's what social media is for.
I think we all have different...
Did you see this? You know?
Yeah, that's true.
I found this thing about Muhammad Ali where he saved a guy. Have you seen that guy where there was a guy going to kill himself and they got Muhammad Ali to jump up?
Yeah, I saw that picture.
I'd never seen it before.
No.
And
no,
it was like, wow. You know, and some of the quotes, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I enjoyed that. But just for me personally, I don't have that relationship with Facebook right now that I post personal things, because it's also like when you're like my Facebook profile, I have a lot of friends there that I don't really know, you know. It's like because we have the band, so you get a lot of requests, and so it's more like an official, almost. It's not that private anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more perhaps on Instagram, where I have more just like friends and family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the Facebook has turned out to be a bit more like a semi-official.
Yeah, because the idea
thing.
Was
so
yeah.
You know, so but that would be though an official thing to post, that if you idolize somebody and you just want to give.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still don't do it. But I mean, we're all different with our relationship with the social medias nowadays.
But what about... because for me, it's like music. You record something and then it's out. You know, write a book, it's gone.
Yeah.
Comedy, you kind of keep touring it. So you can have bad days at the office and stuff like that. Do you still love performing? You don't perform so much anymore though, do you?
I do.
You
but
do?
The thing is like... When you're in the process of writing the album, as I am, and I just want to do that.
Yeah.
And,
God, it must be hard, though, doing an album.
Why did my voice do that?
It must be weird.
I think it depends, because there are a lot of recording artists, so to speak, but if you only sing and you don't write your own songs, so what you're going to have is a couple of meetings with your A&R, and then you, okay, I like this song, and then you go... perhaps for a month to the studio to
you're
record.
Writing your own
when you're writing everything and then you're in the productional process and everything, so it can take years. It has taken me a couple of years, and then at one point you just need to kind of like, maybe this needs to go out now, like it's enough, like you've got 70 songs now, like there's only gonna be 11 songs on the album. Like start. But I approach it as I, you know, when somebody writes, when you write a book, for me, it's a similar type of process, because I can't force it. I really need to go in deep all the way. Is there something that has everything been said? Because basically everything has been said, but how can I still say something through this filter, through this body, through this consciousness of mine that might give another approach to the same universal stories that have been told over and over and over again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. I think it's amazing with music that they come up, you know, they always kind of have a go at bands for doing the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm amazed that they can come up with different styles, different ways. And then if they reinvent themselves and do it too far out, people are like, wow.
Yeah.
What's AC/DC doing jazz for, you know?
Exactly. With Axl Rose on vocals.
I've got a lot of listeners who want to be drummers, want to be singers. I've got thousands, actually.
My God.
What's some advice for them? Maybe there's a young person listening now.
Yeah.
What would be your advice in this age? Now it's kind of... Now, you know, a few years back would be like, you know, as a comedian... I think the advice is changing now because it is basically get out there. It was used to be get out there and do gigs.
Yeah.
But now it's possibly maybe if you do a sketch or maybe you if you record something, put it on YouTube, you could become, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What would be your...
As a drummer, you know, as a musician, just play and have fun. And, you know, you can't really ever say no to anything. I mean, I think that's what I tried to do. Like, I it didn't matter if it was like a classical gig and I to play the, you know, the big toms, the timpani.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, one day, and then the second day I played like metal or something, heavy metal, or and jazz the third day. Because, you know,
it's all
music, and you get such a wide, you know, spectrum of things that you can do, and also people that you meet, and then eventually it's like, from that band somebody knows somebody, and you know, and it's the best training, just like play music and have fun with it, and don't
be
say
hard.
No.
I suppose drumming, you can sit there and practice, and you know, but it's a weird little instrument, isn't it?
It is.
It's kind of...
But it's very natural also, in a way.
Yeah.
Everybody has that need to, you know...
Yeah, and everyone thinks they're a drummer as well.
Yeah, I mean, everybody thinks that it's just like...
I have mime drummed many a gig at a party.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And sort of in my head, a
like,
bit drunk.
I could do that.
No, a bit drunk, gone, here comes... I know the drum roll here, and I'm way out, you know?
Yeah, everybody thinks that they can drum. Then when they get the sticks and they're behind the drum kit, it's like, just like...
It doesn't... Oh it's
my
kind of
God.
Hanging on what
yeah.
I'm playing here.
The song by... what's the band? Oh, what a shit story this is.
You lost us.
The Eagles of Death Metal.
Yeah.
The guy with the... He's the drummer for them, but his original band is called... With the red hair. He's a singer in that band.
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, they've got a bit where it's like... The song is...
Yeah.
You know that band. Anyway. Queens of Stone Age, beautiful, yeah. What a great... This could be a new podcast. Picture mimes the songs. For like 45
Queens
minutes.
Of 2 points.
So you play... I remember one moment I was behind the drum kit of my mates and he started playing guitar and it was like... Nah, nah, and just for a split second... And I mean this, a split. I just went... And I got it. And he kind of looked at me and I looked at him and I was like, FIFA, we've got it, man. This is it. And then I was like, it's a bit... So very difficult. But
Bravo
to you. Bravo.
Yeah, thanks.
Your advice before we go.
Before we go. Well, your comments were really good. But I'd like to emphasize... You know, you always hear this, but you really don't understand it until it hits your own face or career or something. Like, to use more time and emphasize more, like, finding your own thing, whatever that means. Like, if you write songs, like, don't think like, oh, this is how you're supposed to write a song, like using, for instance, a piano or a guitar, and or like knowing how to use some productional programs or something. Like, you can find your own way, and then when you kind of find that good feeling place, that alignment with yourself, like, try to keep yourself there, even if you would want to be successful in music business or whatever, because whenever your thoughts or the things that you're planning are trying to go to the dark side, kind of like, oh, how shit, how am I going to then get an agent or get a record label or blah blah, so it becomes this vicious circle and you can't produce anything from there. No. So always remember kind of that joy, and the essential thing is that no matter what's being played on radio, no matter what anybody says ever, the best things are always the ones that are the most unique and that nobody could ever predict.
Yeah.
And exactly. That's just a fact. Yeah, because comment. You don't want what's already been done. And that's what we all do, musicians, 95% of the time. So it's actually a luxury to be able to fall in back to some sort of originality and come up, because the next big thing is always going to be outside of the box.
Yeah, yeah.
Always. Yeah. And kind of remember that when you start from that line.
But don't you think you have to meet your audience? But then if you haven't got an audience, but I personally feel that sometimes I feel like I'd love to just get up there on stage and do really mad shit.
Mm.
But I think I have to entertain them.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, personally as an artist, or
you
as
will
a drummer,
your best
or comedy or whatever, so that you kind of center yourself.
Don't say
yourself.
Comedy or whatever. You say comedy.
Comedy.
And then something else. Don't say, oh, whatever. Don't
don't
throw comedy away
like
from
that.
The real art.
It was
arts.
Like drummers and other artists.
Comedy is
that.
The real art.
Yeah, comedy. Amongst the real other real arts, and then drummers and singers and songwriters and so on. Anyway, so that you start from that center, and then from that center, without fuzzing so much about, you're going to automatically mean like-minded people. Because when you make it clear for yourself, you know, what you're about, where you feel good and always feel good and centered, there's no way you can fuck it up.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
That's.
But if you're shaky, kind of, you know,
unsure and tense,
insecure, then
work.
when something else, when like insecurity is starting to kind of show its face somewhere, you get swallowed up by it and then you lose your cool. And then it doesn't matter, like, even if you have the best song in the world, what are you going to do with it if everything feels like shit and you cannot honestly meet your audience?
Mm.
Yeah.
Not on Twitter and not live. Definitely not live.
And the it's like, yeah, if you're on the track, if you're on the horse.
Yeah.
I can't come up with anything.
No.
No, but
no, if you're on the bike and the wheels start, you're
exactly.
gone, aren't you? You're
going
to end up in a
if
ditch.
If you don't believe that you're going to stay up,
and
you'll
also,
fall.
Yeah, and also what I've noticed is that because some of this work, especially if you write for businesses or record labels or other artists and so on, it's quite a lot about pleasing or getting some idea right that somebody has ordered.
Mm.
Directly ordered from you, like
they do
potato
that.
Chips, pulse.
Yeah,
of course.
I mean, they
you know,
want
you
a song for an artist.
And then you
this
go like with like something between these four songs, and then you know you start that process. But anyway, my point was so you have to make compromises there. I'm thinking about that potato chips pulse.
I like it.
I had a really good thing here going here. Like really, like the most important thing I wanted to say.
Okay.
The whole week, and now it's gone.
Potato pulse. They've asked you for four songs.
Yeah, about because when you yourself stand very clear and you're very happy and very certain in what you're doing, then all of a sudden it loses complete meaning what anybody else thinks. And that's the best feeling. That's the best place to be, I think, personally. Like, writing this album now, I realize for the first time in my life, I don't give a shit what anybody else thinks.
Wow.
Because I have done what I set out to do.
Yeah.
And then the rest is just technical.
See, I talk to some comedians and they think, well, they tell me they've reached that point, you know? They've
Whatever
reached
that
point.
Means.
They don't care. Yeah. I still care so much. I still want my audience to like what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but well, it doesn't take that part away. Of course, you know, there's always bigger ideas and bigger creativity, other people that you want to work with. It doesn't take anything away from that. But you kind of, when you yourself are certain in what you do, and that's not 100% and all the time.
No,
it's just like
it's
you remember
to,
yeah, to center yourself often
yeah.
enough so that you don't get shaky.
Yeah.
Then that's a very good place to
start from.
To be,
yeah.
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 That's yeah.
And that's what we also really try to work with with the band Duyo.
Yeah.
That every time, you know, we go up that we need to entertain the crowd.
Mm.
But we can do that because we are very comfortable in the group, in the band.
Mm.
We know what we're doing. Mm. We're very just relaxed on stage because we know that even though it wouldn't work the first 2-3 songs, the people are a bit like, okay, who are these guys? You know, they're not dancing. They're just like looking and looking, usually very weirdly, looking just like...
Mm.
But we're so relaxed because we know that eventually we will get there if we just don't, you know, push it too much. We don't push people.
Mm.
So, and I think that's like really what you're talking about.
Yeah,
that
it's
have
like,
that relaxed and...
For as long as you're looking for validation or affirmation from the outside, you're going to end up in trouble. Because there's going to be a day or a period in your life where everybody or, you know, people are saying that that's shit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're kind of attached to that idea...
Yeah.
Idea of yourself, that how good you are is how shit I am according to their opinion, you're gonna end up in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, so you gotta find your that center from within, but it's very true, and then build up from there. Because what's the point in having 10 million Facebook fans if you're feeling shit and depressed and that you have nothing to give or share?
Yeah. Ow.
Wow.
But I have
wow.
to add one more thing,
yeah.
though. It's a bit different in comedy, I can
Thank
imagine.
Thank God for that!
Because the relationship with the audience is very different. Because your whole thing is that you're trying to get that laugh and make them laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You
but
know?
If you, I mean, I know comedians that don't like... they've lost that. They're just phoning it in. They're just... doing the
okay.
gigs.
Yeah.
But
okay.
for me,
yeah.
I care so much.
Yeah.
I want to
yeah.
make people... There's just nothing happier for me than
yeah.
looking
it's
down and see
response.
Someone just
yeah. Yeah.
crying with laughter,
yeah.
going,
yeah.
when's he going to leave
yeah.
the stage?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
the complete same thing with music and with
yeah.
musicians or whatever art. Even if you write books or make movies, that's what you want, really.
Yeah.
But the process is longer.
Mm.
Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You cannot set out to make an album that takes 4 or 5 years until you get on your tour if you're just... out in the cuckoo space all the time, like
yeah,
you
that
gotta...
must be hard if you make an album and then they go, right, it's gone really well, and you're like, oh shit, really?
Yeah.
And then you've got to go out and tour it. That must be
that's horrible.
Oh,
the worst nightmare.
Oh god, you must be playing the songs, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Why did I say
Again.
Jingle jangle potato chips
yeah.
bag?
But it's not rocket science, you know. When it feels good, it feels good. That's why we keep going back to it.
Yeah.
Even though if it has rough moments where you have to sit by the piano or by your desk, which you don't have, obviously, or by your drums until your ass is completely on pimples. You know.
Covered in pimples?
Yeah.
Okay, awkward.
It gets sweaty.
Why don't you get some lotion or something? Or why
not lotion. I mean, it's just hot and humid. But how can you treat that? I would like a fan installed in the chair would be...
It's like Beyonce, like she has a fan because she got so hot and now it's a Beyonce style with
yeah,
the hair.
That's
so
true.
You could get one for your...
Yeah, well, inside the chair would be good because I'm...
But I'm Kurt Cobain, when he came to New Zealand, I remember they had a fan that was just blowing his
yeah.
hair. He wasn't that hot.
No. Carola has that.
I was going to do a joke
Eurovision
about head, but that's not appropriate. This has been great.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean
it. Short.
It's nice.
Yeah. Just getting in.
It's nice. Well, it's the longest pod I've ever done, so it can't be
it's
that
true.
Short. Yeah, people, I think, get bored of me after 27 minutes. This has been 43. So
is that true?
Yes.
Oh. No.
So this has been great. I, talking of great places to send to myself and everything else, I'm going to be in Kuopio this weekend in Finland. I'll be in Helsinki on Thursday. Look on my website, alpitcher.com. Why do I pretend that I don't know it? And then I'm going to Kuopio, and then I will record something there. Thank you to my children as well. They're downstairs.
Yeah.
And I can hear my wife saying shh, shh to them all the time. And thank you to you guys, man.
Thank
seriously.
You so much. Yeah.
This
thank you
is
much.
Cool. We can this do that. We can do another one of these. We can do
it's 43 all of a sudden.
Yeah, the meaning of life. It's 43.
42. 42. Do you want to tell them where they can find you, or are we just going to do your stuff? Let's do something when you've got the album out, when you've got, you know, things happening.
Yeah, I mean, you can listen to our latest album on Spotify. Så mycket du jag is the name of the album. So just check it out. Might be some good tunes for the summer.
Awesome. And you are great, both of you.
Thanks.
You are great. Thank you.
And soma.one, there you can find something before I
That's
release
a cool
it.
Address.
Yeah.
Soma.one.com.
Dot one.
Dot one.
Yeah, as in...
God, you always do it differently, don't you? soma.one. Thank you so much. Happy National Day.
National Day.
Thank you so much for you two to come along.
Thank you.
We
so
had a barbecue.
Much.
We had a walk.
Yeah.
Nationals dogs. Rulltorta.
Rulltorta. Yeah. Not a rullato. Rulltorta. And now we're all hot and sweaty, and we might even go for a
swim.
Ba-da-na-ka-na-na-na-na.
Oh.
Absolute joy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
See you another time.
Cool.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.